All right, man. Hey, thanks for joining in live. We're live for the Monday Morning React Show. I'm Jay Rich. I'm gonna bring in my man Sleepy J, pregame.com, coming in right at the right time. Big man Sleepy, what is up, man?
What's happening, Captain? How you doing today?
So listen, man, we're gonna do a different show. Most of everybody's used to us breaking down the games, giving winners. You know, we're still gonna do that, man. I wanna talk about the college upcoming bowl games. Sleepy, a couple of these lines opened up. I wanna see if anybody got to that Oklahoma quickly before it ran up, or did you disagree or agree with it? Definitely wanna talk about the Bama line that's already out there. What's up with the Florida game? That's a bigger spread than I anticipated. So we're going to talk some games and some spreads, Sleepy. But this is more a reaction. This is more an opinion show. All right, we're going to give our hot takes. Man, I saw Sleepy out there already, man. I caught you in the forum. Sleepy has 20 hot takes already out there. Go check Sleepy out in the NFL forum. Sleepy, man, I want to get a couple of those. I'm going to go into those, see if they bleed in to any other topics I have. So I got some time this week, man. I'm going to try and do a show every day this week at the same time. And, of course, as the week goes on, we'll have to get very creative, Sleepy, for talk about some other things besides what games happen on the weekend. So, first, man, let's get into what caught my attention first, and let's see how you react to it, man. We'll just kind of play off each other here. So let's start with Saturday, man. Great college game, man. Fun, entertaining game. Man, I found myself rooting against Iowa, man. I found myself rooting against Iowa, and I wanna explore it because I wanna see, one, is anybody else out there? You shoot me a tweet at JRich3000, at JRich3000 on Twitter, man. Let me know if you rooted against Iowa or why. I wonder if I was the only one, and I wanna know why. I think it's because, Sleepy, I felt that they shouldn't be in it, and I kind of just wanted them out. I didn't have a bet on it, but I just noticed it. I turned the TV on and instantly, please lose. So I wanna see if I was the only one who felt that way. Also, turned away from the Clemson game, North Carolina. I thought that was going to be the most exciting game. Looked like it was going to be a blowout. I missed the onside kick. And I want to see if this is a Sleepy special. Was this a conspiracy? Was it all like this conspiracy? What do people think? There's a lot of theories out there. So I want to get Sleepy's take out there. So, Sleep Man, first, let's go to your conspiracy take. Because I want, if you agree with this, then it's cool. If you're not, then I think the conspiracy thing's dead. If Sleepy doesn't believe it's conspiracy, there was no conspiracy. What did you think about that play? Onside kick, man. North Carolina could have been down 8 with a chance to go ahead and go for the tie, of course, with the extra 2-point conversion. What'd you think about it?
I don't know, man. I couldn't really wrap my head around it because I watched it probably like 3 times, and I'm going, you know, how the hell did that guy, how did he throw that flag? I mean, it was clear as day. Nobody was offside, and it wasn't even like it was close. I could understand if it was close, maybe a head was over, a foot was on the line. I mean, they were a clear, you know, full yard behind the line. So I'm sitting there going, something's up with this. This doesn't make any sense. But, you know, was it a conspiracy? I don't know, you know, because maybe, you know, maybe that line judge just hasn't seen, you know, a ton of onside kicks in his career. But I don't know. It looked very fishy. I was actually pretty shocked. And, you know, once he made that call, I mean, that was a wrap. I mean, sure, you know, North Carolina had a chance because they got a chance to go ahead and try again. But, you know, if they got the ball back, I mean, they very well could have went right down the field and scored and, you know, made that game really interesting. But as far as a conspiracy, I would probably say no. But as far as, you know, it not being a reviewable play, you know, if we could review a guy's foot being inbounds, then why can't we review, you know, where a guy's foot is when, you know, the guy throws a flag on a onside kick?
Right.
I think that should be definitely a reviewable call because it's not like it's going to determine much. It's saying, you know, I made the wrong call. The kid was not over. And, you know, whatever happens with the play happens. I think they should definitely review that. That should be a review because that's an easy review. Was he or wasn't he? You know, plain and simple.
Right.
And I think it should be, you know, if the foot is over the line or the foot is on the line, then it would be offsides. And if there's clear as day, you know, green in between the foot and the line, you know, if they throw the flag, you know, they have to pick it up. They should definitely review that. But no conspiracy. I just thought it was fishy. I think maybe he just jumped the gun, realized he screwed up, and was like, oh, shit, you know, like I really jacked this one up. But I'll go ahead and say no conspiracy on that one. But I think the kid's
fair enough. Man, fair enough. And I think that was hard to judge, man. I think that now, I mean, it's a good topic. You know, what should have happened? Should they have picked up the flag? Let's get to this, man. What do you think about me and this Iowa I would hate. I think it's a little hate, man, and I wanna admit it. I wanna explore it. I wanna know, do you know anybody else? Anybody you know, friends or family, find themselves rooting against Iowa? You know, why do you think that is? If I'm trying to understand myself, really think I don't think they belonged, and I think it frustrates me when other people do this with other teams. So maybe I'm contradicting myself here, man. Because I mean, we're gonna talk about the Cincinnati hate, which I don't understand. We're gonna talk about the Panthers. Man, Twitter was a buzz. Halftime criticism was ridiculous. So we're going to talk about that. A lot of NFL to talk about. Only a couple of more topics on the college, man. Home dogs going 1-7 ATS. I can't find anywhere. I'm looking at everybody. I'm tweeting it. I can't get an answer. What the hell happened here? Has this happened a lot? Home dogs 1-7 on the week so far. Going to get to the Browns, Bengals. I want to know who you people were that were betting Cleveland at +9.5 and under. I get double digits at 10. Who was betting +9, 9.5, 8? I want to know who you are. And I want to talk about Osweiler. I don't think he's really that good. But Sleep, what do you think? What do you think about me with the Iowa hate? Am I the only one? I can't be the only one. Just find myself, man. I wanted them to lose, and they played admirably, but still, they didn't look good. They played good defensively, Sleepy. They had the one bomb. You take out that, what did that team do that you could look forward to for the bowl game besides the defense? And again, maybe I didn't see all the game. Maybe I missed something. You tell me. What did they do, and was I kind of right to kind of hate on them? I was happy they lost. I was very excited, as if I had a ticket, and I didn't.
Well, I think you have to probably take a look at I guess you could say perspective from, what you thought about them and what I thought about them. That you really haven't been that high on that team all year. And for the most part, it was because, you know, they really haven't played top teams. And it was one of those things where it kind of drew you to, you know, do they even belong in this game? And you were tired of seeing them win and tired of the Iowa talk. So I could understand, your point, with that. And I kind of have a similar thing to, the Panthers in the NFL. I kind of felt the same way. And it turned out, that they're a pretty good team. And it turned out on a Saturday, that Iowa was a pretty good team too, and they belonged to be in that game. But I actually found myself rooting for Iowa. I was on the opposite end of you, because just as what did Iowa do in that game that was extra special? I asked myself the same question about Michigan State. What did they do that was extra special? They were down there at the goal line, punched it in, they won the game, and credit to those guys. I didn't see anything from really Michigan State that made me want to root for them. And I didn't really even see anything from Iowa that made me want to root for them. I think it was just the underdog role, the undefeated season, the team to really throw a wrench into the whole playoff system, because that's what I was hoping for. Personally, I wish it was an 18 playoff instead of 4, and I was really hoping Clemson went down and Iowa won, and maybe even Alabama lost. I just wanted it to be a real, mess. So I found myself rooting for Iowa, but to be honest with you, I wanted the better team to win, and I think it is Michigan State. Those are two tough teams when they play each other. I mean, those are, Big Ten teams. They play a lot, and they play tough every year. So I think Michigan State deserved to win the game, and I think that Michigan State will definitely bring a much better game to Alabama than Iowa would, because if Iowa won the game and they ended up in the playoff, we had talked before about, how I think they're going to set it up. One way or another, the Big Ten was going up against, going up against Alabama, so it really didn't matter, to me who won.
All right, Sleepy, I got the poll up on Twitter, man. Everybody go and vote there. Were you rooting for Iowa to lose? I want to see if I was the only one here. I might have been. I'm admitting my bias here. I'm open to that. I felt it. It was part of me watching that game. I actually turned to that game to see that. I would have been sad, like I lost a ticket if Iowa would have won that game. I had a strong rooting interest against them. It was crazy. I don't think I've felt that before without having money on the game, and I really wanted, not even wanting Michigan State to lose. It could have been San Jose State versus Iowa. I just wanted them to go down. I don't know why. All right. Next topic. Man, let's hit the NFL. Sleep, man, a lot of fun things going in. And before we get to the NFL, let me ask about the Oklahoma game, because this was fun, man. And when we talk about getting out ahead, Sleep, man, betting these games early, I mean, here we got a game that's not going to, kick off till – so what, at least, we got 2 weeks here before this game goes off. People hit this very early, man. It was something that was out there being talked about. We saw ones, as low as ones I saw, at least on Penny. Definitely twos out there. Definitely we could safely say under threes widely. available, Sleepy Man. This game got that up quickly, man. So quickly, what did you think about the opening number there with that Oklahoma, let's just call it two, that's being widely available and quickly bet up? And did you agree with that move? Did you happen to grab it before? If this game's not going off to the 31st, man, this is a New Year's Eve game, already taking a lot of money there on Oklahoma. Up to four now, Sleepy. That's a big, swift move. What did you think about that?
I thought a couple things, honestly. You know, being what we, with what we do, dropping that play when that line came out at minus one would offer no value to any of our clients, and that's just not fair. Wow. So I figured I'd let that one sit for, you know, a day or two. I'm probably going to let that sit for a couple more days. I'll handicap that game out. But I wasn't shocked to see that number sit at four. I thought it might actually open at, like, three or four. So I wasn't shocked. You know, I talked all year about Clemson and how I think that, you know, they're kind of a fraudulent team. And I think now they're going to go up against the powerhouse team in Oklahoma who, you know, has had an extra week's rest. They didn't have to go and play, you know, in North Carolina and deal with controversy. They're going to get a little bit of a break, Clemson. But Oklahoma's been sitting back, relaxing, watching them. Sure, they watched that, you know, that UNC game. So I think Oklahoma's going to have probably the better game plan. I think they have a better defense, and we saw what UNC did to them. They went up and down the field, but Oklahoma's defense is probably going to be one of the tougher defenses that Clemson's seen. I'm not shocked that it's at four. I'm probably going to look at the total in that game. Right now I think four, even 3.5, really doesn't offer much value for both sides. So, no, I was not shocked to see that that number shoot right up, but I don't think we could have offered that, you know, for what we do. There would just it would be unfair to go ahead and drop a one in the field line, shoot it through, and we'd be sitting there going, you know, what the hell happened?
Man, absolutely, Sleepy. I'm more interested just the line moving, man. This was something, I mean, in the new age we're at, man, before, you know, I would have to get on the phone and call you and say, man, Sleepy, man, go get this number quick. It's going. You have to run down to the sports book. But, I mean, now, I mean, that information spread so quickly, man. It was widely available what the number was, and instantly in my head, and I do the college extremely less than you do, instantly I would say, oh, man, Oklahoma. And I'd be 100% honest, say I think I've watched two halves of an Oklahoma game, and instantly it just knowing those two teams and what everyone's been talking about all year, damn, that looks low. No, that looks low. So I'm more interested, did you, yeah, you thought it looked low. You weren't surprised. But did you personally think that was a low opener? Even though you were surprised, you weren't shocked that it moved up, did you think, yes, man, that's a damn low number right there?
Well, I was actually shocked that the sharper books like Penny and the Greek actually opened it up.
It was at one at Penny, minus one.
Yeah, and I was surprised at that. I thought they would open somewhere maybe in the 2.5 area, and it actually shot up rather quick to 2.5. I mean, money just flooded in on Oklahoma, and I think it was correct, but I was actually a little surprised. I could see maybe a Bet Online book, one of your softer books or you know, one of them type of books opening up at one and then quickly adjusting. But I was actually surprised to see Penny drop a one. I thought maybe a 2.5 from the sharper books, and then it would kick up to like 3, 3.5, maybe close 4. So maybe we're actually seeing the closing number now. But I wouldn't be, you know, so sure that, you know, you're not going to get a lot of Clemson money coming late being one. You know, they're going to get a lot of, they're getting a lot of money coming in on them, but they are undefeated. They're number one team. And, you know, the public recreational bettor probably, you know, is like, I want the number one team, whether they know stuff or not. These are big games. These are similar to your Super Bowls where, you know, you get a lot of recreational bettors who just don't know, you know, anything that's what's going on, period, with football. So, you know, sure enough, they'll be sitting there watching the Orange Bowl with their family and their friends. And they'll be slapping some action down, whether they do it on a, you know, online book or whether they do it in Vegas legally or however they do it. But I think you'll see money come in on Clemson. I'm not sure if it'll go below 3. I highly doubt it. But I would say -3 probably would be, you know, the number that probably surfaces, I would say, probably at like a penny. And then maybe 4, you know, might be the close, you know, at maybe some of the softer shops. But I think it's actually going to stay pretty stationary from where it's at right now.
All right, man, that's SleepyJPregame.com, and I'm Jay Rich. We're reacting to what we saw over the weekend, man. A lot of stuff to talk about. Still got a lot of topics here to go over, man. Feel free to join the conversation, man. You can tweet me at JRich3000 or go ahead and call in. If you got to call in, you got to have Twitter. You got to be able to hit me up on Twitter, man, for a phone call. Let me know. That'll get us away from the losers who called and got stupid crap to say. All right, Sleepy, let's go to the pros. I can't wait to talk about these, man. A lot of games to talk about, a lot of topics to talk about, Sleepy. Let's first go to the home dogs, man, going 1-7. I want to see, man, I can't find it anywhere. I've hit up every knowledgeable information guy. I can't find it. I've searched the internet. I want to know when this happened. One, did you notice it? I don't think I noticed it till this morning, and I'm sure most people saw it early. I saw a tweet by Bi-Weekly. You know what? Let me hit up my man Bi-Weekly on Twitter, because I saw him with the glib comment, just the general comment. Hey man, there's a lot of, I mean, I'm going to quote him incorrectly. He was basically saying the whole idea of betting home underdogs, man, is gone, right? He was lamenting that fact. It made me think, and I don't know what he bet, but it made me think, looks like he lost maybe a couple of home dogs. But I still didn't think, yo, how many home dogs have lost? I just thought maybe he lost two or three out of the home dogs. And then I look and saw it was 1-7, man, going back to the Detroit-Green Bay game. That was the first one, man. Then that was maybe unprecedented, a little bit of luck there, Sleepy Man. Even the Carolina one, to be the one loss, a lot of shit had to go wrong, man. And I'll get into that when I talk about lazy analysis, man. So much lazy analysis at halftime about that Panthers game. So I want to get into that later. But, Sleep, what did you think about the home dog? Did you notice it? When did you notice it? And then do you remember a week like this? Because I can't find it anywhere. I'm sure it's happened. I just can't find it yet. I'm still searching.
I don't know, man. The NFL this year hasn't been anything but surprising, I guess. I don't know, man. It's been, you get one extreme to the next. I mean, it's one bad beat after another. It's one crazy finish after another. One bad call after another. So seeing a lopsided, home dog kind of outcome, in week 13, week 14, it's not surprising to me. I think it really comes down to, more of what kind of an approach the books kind of take. There are certain things that, sharp bettors, they like the back, and there are certain things that public bettors like the back. And I think sometimes they try to divide that up to say, where could we, try to, itch and scratch, take a couple pennies here, a couple nickels there, and maybe shade some numbers in a certain direction. Now, maybe it was just randomness yesterday that there was that type of outcome, but to be honest with you, I haven't seen that in quite some time. We probably won't see it again maybe until next year, but it wasn't much of a surprise to me, man, just because this NFL season's been absolutely a circus, to be honest with you.
Sleep, do you think that's dead? I mean, I remember, just getting out of college, man, trying to get serious in this, but realizing that there's some smarts to it. It's just not, hey, man, I like the Cowboys. Let me take them -7, -10. What's the difference? And these are the phrases we start hearing, like home dogs, man. I could distinctly remember that back in 05, that being something that was said. You heard the prime times, under instead of over, right? You hear these things being said. Is that one that's kind of gone by the wayside? Just in your opinion, again, stats would be nice if we had that to back it up. But just what you've seen throughout the years, is that something that's lowering percentage-wise? Or, hey, man, just one week, it's probably happened before, no big deal. Or just in general, what's your thoughts on that as far as that as a way to cap?
I think it's something that, is – no, I think it'll happen again, but I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. Like I said, I think it's more than anything, it's probably just randomness. I mean, I'm not shocked that a lot of them covered, so it's probably just randomness.
Maybe I'm making too much of it, man. It caught my eye, and it shocked me. Maybe it shouldn't. Again, I'll keep looking for the stats. If I get that out, man, I'll tweet that out to everybody. Finally, a good week of football, Sleep. Be honest. I mean, we talked about it before. I don't know if you agreed with me. I forgot what your opinion was. Man, it's been crappy. It's been crappy football this year, man. A lot of 4-5 teams, a lot of bad teams, man. Every single team in the NFC is still available to make the playoffs, mathematically. And there's never – I mean, two really good teams in the NFC, Sleep, man? So I found that funny, man. 6 of the 12 playoffs. I got this from the Red Zone. 6 of the 12 playoff spots. Switch hands, man. Cincinnati going to the top spot. Denver – 2, New England 3, Jets now in the wild card. Sleep, man, what did you think about the football there? Has that been something you've noticed? Because it has been for me, man. It's been a crappy year. And last week was the first week where I seriously, no joke, was like, yo, man, that was fun football. Jobin, there was no ref scenarios that really pissed me off. There were still a lot of bad calls, but it wasn't more like last week. Last week, we came out and said, we got to do something about these shitty refs. These refs are awful. And so what'd you think, man? A lot of fun games, you know, and that'll bring us into the couple of wins and losses here, man. What game kind of caught your eye, man? That Jackson-Tennessee game, as I see that up on ESPN, how fun was that game? What was there, 80 points scored in that one? That was fun to watch. What did you think overall the weekend, man? A lot of more exciting games, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100% going back to last week when you were talking about, you know, the quality of football to watch. You know, I had a big play on Monday night. It was the Cleveland Brown game. I thought they'd go ahead and beat Baltimore. I got to be honest with you. Even in a losing effort on that game, it was probably one of the easiest games to watch just because it wasn't influenced by flags, injuries, commercials. I mean, some of the NFL games are really, really hard to watch. But, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier on in the year, and I think I touched on this maybe like week two, week three, you know, I thought the overall picture of the NFL was just bad. And if you look at pregame.com, they put up a thread the other day of star players that are out. And, I mean, I only put up maybe 40% of the guys that are out for the year. There's probably still 60% I didn't even touch on, lower grade kind of guys. But overall, the product is really, it's just hurt. And a lot of it's just due to injuries. I mean, you can't go through a season without, you know, Andrew Luck, Tamar Charles, you know, Peyton Manning. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Jimmy Graham goes down. Marshawn Lynch, the guy's been sidelined for weeks. Flacco's out. You know, Steve Smith's out. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. And then you throw in the circus with, you know, Johnny Manziel. Is he playing? Is this going on? Nick Foles is dead. This guy got a concussion. Like, it's just been an absolute circus. And to be honest with you, it's been hard to handicap this year. As you know, we just touched on, you know, it's been a circus. So, you know, this week's football games overall, I thought they were okay. And I think it was more than probably because I had good success. So I kind of enjoyed it. So I would imagine if I lost, because I had a big play last night, my total of the year was on a Pittsburgh Indy. And that one cashed. So if that went down, I probably would have been really salty today and probably would have thought the whole weekend was a wash. But I thought today was, or yesterday was, you know, okay. It looked more crappy football to me. I think it's going to take until the playoffs, until we get healthy, good teams where we can actually say, you know, here's where my handicap is good. We know who the quarterbacks are. We know who the healthy teams are. And they'll all, you know, start to come out in the wash. But, I mean, it's tough to watch the Saints. It's such a wash. Miami and Tennessee and Jacksonville. It's just tough right now to watch those teams.
Please, first, let me, man, congrats, man. Tell me what play you had, man. I know you had a big play on the total there, man. Tell me one more time. What game was that?
I had the over last night in the Steelers and Colts.
Nice. Oh, that was the game of the week. Oh, that was the game of the year you had, man. Congrats, bro. Yeah, that was a big one, man.
Yeah, I had the over in that one. I'll tell you what, man. It was set up to go over early. And we had a missed kick by the
Were you worried early? Because I had that over. We talked about that on the show. I didn't know that was your big play. Again, you've gotten too good, man. I can't tell your plays anymore. But I looked up, and I saw like 6-3. You know, I don't know what time. Maybe that was really early. And I said, shit, man, I know I have the over also. I'm thinking, oh, man, this is going to get there. This got to get there. Was that too early? I don't even remember. That could have been first quarter. I'm just thinking of myself. Yeah. I felt it in myself saying, hey, what's going on? This game should be getting some more points going. But then, of course, it flew over.
Yeah, you know what happened? It was, it started out kind of crazy. I think they fumbled the opening kickoff. Pittsburgh got the ball at, like, the 3 or the 4. I'm like, we're getting an easy touchdown. Or Indy got the ball. And I'm like, this is an easy score. We're going to go right in, you know, start getting points for the over. Sure enough, they turned the ball over at, like, the 3 or the 4. I think they threw an interception. I called it. My buddy was standing next to me. I'm sitting there. It was 3rd and something. I'm going, he's going to throw a pick. Guaranteed he's going to screw this up. Sure enough, he throws a pick. I think Pittsburgh got the ball. They went back down 20 yards. They turned it over. So it was a lot of turnovers. You were right, though. It was 6-3 there, I think, in the first quarter. But I'll be honest with you, man. I watched probably the last 2 weeks against Seattle and now against Indy. Dude, that offense right now is probably the best offense in the league. If they can get that defense to play an A game and that offense is rolling in the playoffs, nobody will beat that team. They're just way too powerful on offense. Even with Le'Veon Bell out, that offense is scoring, you know, 30-plus points a game. I think they scored 30, 38, and like 35, and then 45 last night. So, you know, you're putting up 30-plus points on the board in the NFL. You know, it's pretty good, pretty good. So I was happy.
So let me steal one of your morning, Monday morning, quarterback takes here, Sleep, man. I'm reading, And again, Sleevely CB, seriously, guys, he's got 50 takes on there, man. You got to go check that out on the forum. I was chuckling, laughing because I'm thinking the same thing. A lot of them, some I agree with, some I don't, but it's like I was thinking a lot of shit happened this week, and I got to get it down. I just wrote mine down on my notepad here. So let's go to one. You got Super Bowl rematch possibly with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cardinals, man. I like it. I like it. It's different. You know, a lot of people seeing the injuries now with the Pats. There's only, again, two, three maybe solid teams in the NFC that the Arizona Cardinals have to go with. I know everybody now is back on the Seahawks. It seems to me like that was the team pros were just waiting to jump back on. When is it going to happen? They were kind of scared, kind of dipping their toe in the water. And finally, yesterday, they jumped on in and threw their hands up. Ah, I'm back on the Seahawks now. Before that happened, I think that Arizona was definitely a good bet, and I still think they can beat the Seahawks, Sleepy. I'm going to go and look up right now what the future are on the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cardinals. But you tell me, I mean, you wrote it. Why did you think that's a good one? Because I agree with it.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Well, I was saying, why did you just tell us why you wrote it? You wrote it, the Cardinals there and the Steelers there. You wrote maybe with the question marks. I don't know if you agree with it. You said maybe a Super Bowl repeat.
Oh, yeah. Overall, I think Arizona's probably your better team probably coming out of the NFC. I mean, that offense is going to be tough to slow down. I think once they're completely healthy, I know they have a little bit of a running back issue, but I don't really put much stock into Seattle, to be honest with you. I don't think their defense is all that cracked up from what it used to be. I mean, I saw Pittsburgh basically run up and down the field on them. And it really, honestly, I mean, Russell Wilson played his best game. But when I take a look at everybody in the NFC, you know, obviously Green Bay's hurting right now. Minnesota's not what they're supposed to be. The NFC East is garbage. I mean, I could look at Carolina, but I just have a gut feeling somewhere that offense is going to struggle. And I think it'll probably be against a team like Arizona because Arizona can put up points. So right now, my early lean is probably Arizona coming out of the NFC. And I think it's going to be between Cincinnati, and I think it'll be between Pittsburgh. I think it's going to come out of that division. I
see right now. My fault. I was going to say I see that the Cardinals right now at 250 plus 250 to come off the NFC. Steelers. I'm going to guess that number's a little higher. Wow, Steelers at plus 700, just to win the AFC. I think that's a must, man. I think that's a must. I like, obviously, you know, I like the Bengals. You know, I do, but a lot of people don't, and no one's going to relinquish the Patriots at plus 175. But I think that's a good, damn good number, a plus 700 with the Steelers, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad number at all. I mean, from what I've seen, that offense, nobody's going to be able to stop them. It doesn't matter who we are because they just have way too many weapons. I mean, they got four receivers, and he wasn't even in the game last night, and they were still throwing all over, and they got their running back. I mean, they just have five or six guys they could throw at you, and it's quarterback like Big Ben, who he's tough to get down and a very good quarterback. If that defense could step up for Pittsburgh, I'm telling you, if they could play an A game and they can just go out there and play their regular offense, I don't think anybody's going to stop them. I don't even care about Denver's defense because Denver's offense won't score that many points. Pittsburgh went into Seattle and scored 30. So if they don't have to go into a tough environment like that, and I don't think there's really many other environments, maybe Denver, but Denver just won't be – they're not going to be able to keep up scoring. And if New England can't get healthy and they can't get Edelman and Gronk and get their running backs and everything and that whole team unscrewed on offense, they're not going to be able to hang either. So I know it's a lot of perception and what I've seen from them the last 2 weeks, but I'll tell you what, man, when they got Wheaton right now catching the ball, he had like 200 yards last week or something like that. I mean, the guy hasn't been heard of, and now all of a sudden he's breaking out. You know, he reminds me of A.J. Green or Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, he's that good. And Antonio Brown, he doesn't miss. So they're just going to be a real hard team to deal with. Earlier on in the year, I'll be honest, man, I thought that Pittsburgh was going to have a real bad season because the defense was, just depleted. I mean, they lost the coordinator, multiple guys. But they're playing good football. And I think the offense is helping the defense because the offense can move as fast as they want up and down the field. They can go quick. They can go slow. They're getting the yardage, and they're giving the defense rest. So just put it on your calendar, man. Pitt will be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a tough out. And no matter who they play, you know, where they play them in, don't be shocked if they go to the Super Bowl and potentially win because that offense is that strong, and they're getting healthy now. So just look out.
All right, man. Hey, listen, we're only half an hour in, man. That's Sleepy J. I'm Jay Rich. We're going to keep going, man. Monday morning react, man. We're hitting NFL now. I got a lot of topics still, man. I'm going to talk about the Bengals-Browns next. Definitely want to go into the Rams. Time for Jeff Fisher to go, Sleepy. Is it time? I haven't heard anything about Gurley being the best running back in the league for some time. I want to go over his stats over the last five games because that was one thing I was tired of hearing. As I being an Adrian Peterson fan myself and seeing him do what he does over that first couple of games also. You know, your kid had four good starts. People say he's the best running back in the league. Not good. Not having a good season. The best running back in the league. Haven't heard that from anybody in a while. Want to talk about the Pats and Panthers being down. Definitely want to go over Osweiler. You know, this is a fun game. I stole this from the Dan Le Batard show, man. Peyton Manning, Sleepy, has that commercial. I'm sure everybody's seen the commercial with Nationwide. With the Parmesan queso dip, tastes so good. Right? That's always funny. So now that he's out, Osweiler's in. You know, you start putting together songs like, CJ doesn't run for me. You know, Osweiler suddenly is being propped up, man. The team's playing better behind him. I don't think Osweiler's that good, Sleepy. We'll get into that, see if you can disagree with me on that one. Let's go to the Bengals game. You know, I got to get this one off my chest. Man, this is tough. You know, Sleepy, in the industry we're in, you got to be a contrarian, right? You got to go against the grain for the most part. But we started throwing out these labels sometime, and the label right now was, yeah, man, Cincinnati was the square pick. You know, and I think in general, Sleepy, that taking minus 10 is not a smart bet. So that part I agree with. But how about all the people taking the Browns under the 10? Taking the Browns at the plus 9, plus 8. That got bet down to 7.5. Me personally, I was waiting for 7. But I think that if you're going to say that's a square bet, whatever you want to call it, I find it utterly dumb. So we'd be playing on the Browns. This team had lost 5 in a row and had their third string quarterback in there, Sleep. And again, I'm acknowledging part of this racket is being different. I get that, Sleepy. But this wasn't different. This was dumb. This was utterly I don't understand it all. And again, please, if you disagree, I want you to come at me strong with it because I really think it's stupid. It's easy to throw it away by saying square, or easy to throw it away by saying everybody who knows Spets and who loses every week could have been on Cincinnati. I'm not talking about people who are on Cincinnati. I'm talking specifically about those who had the Browns with their third-string quarterback in after losing 5 games in a row that thought they were going to cover or play or have a good game at all. Sleepy, the team that scored 14 goals. I'm thinking of 14 points a game. So that's where I'm coming at it. Please, you tell me, man, hey, Jay Rich, you got to back off because of this and this. I want your opinion on it just because that was a big game. That was a big game. The Browns stink. They're the worst team in the league, Sleepy, the worst team in the league. Your thoughts?
Hold on. Sorry, I had a little bit of an audio issue there. Yesterday, man, you know, me and you were both on, you know, we both had Cincinnati teams in that game, so we felt pretty good. But I believe we both touched on, you know, that we wouldn't feel that bad laying the 8. So as far
Absolutely.
As you know, Cleveland yesterday, even plus 9.5, was just like a head scratcher to me. I mean, there were a couple things in that game that could have maybe put you on Cleveland. Maybe just a letdown spot for Cincinnati. Maybe power ranking numbers or something didn't line up. But, I mean, you're
okay.
going to take a spin in Austin Davis and throw him into the mix against a team like Cincinnati. And that Cleveland team, I mean, if they didn't beat Baltimore on Monday night at home with their best quarterback going, in my opinion, I mean, it just spelled disaster. I really think that team – some way, somehow, and if you want to, you like me when it comes to conspiracies, now all of a sudden, you know, they had McNown, they brought this kid in, they wouldn't let Manziel play, he's suspended, now Johnny Manziel is going to be back for a week. That team's going to win 2 games this year, and they're going to end up getting their first pick, and I think everything that's from their higher-ups, you know, hired in the coach, are telling them, do everything you can do at the quarterback position to make sure that we just keep losing games, and Manziel will probably be starting this week, he'll screw up and they'll get beat again, so... there's no way I could take 9.5 with that team. I wouldn't take any points with them for the rest of the year because it looks to me like they're just tanking. And if they couldn't beat Baltimore on Monday night against a quarterback like Schaub, on third down. I mean, he seemed like he was completing everything. So I don't know how you landed on Cleveland yesterday, honestly, and that's after the fact. You know, we cast our ticket yesterday with the teaser that we talked about. You know, we did good, but still, you know, after the fact, I mean, still, it's Cleveland. You know, they're plus 9.5 or whatever. I mean, they got smashed in the game, and nothing that I looked at put me on Cleveland. I said, this is a golden teaser right here. At least it's a one end that I'm most definitely going to hit. And we talked about laying the 8 or the 9, and we felt comfortable with that. So we felt comfortable. I don't know how you could feel comfortable with 9.5. Something must have just stuck out. Maybe it was a letdown or a division game or something, but nothing at all showed up on Cleveland for me.
Hey, Sleepy, I want to be clear, man, because in the business we had, man, there's nothing that bugged me out, so, man. You lose a game or whatever the fact may be. And, again, people are putting money on this, and there's some ego and pride in this racket that also sleep. So I hate when people get, hey, man, shitty pick, you know, or going to the forums or have something on Twitter. That's, again, I don't want to come off as that. And I guess I'm more annoyed, man, because I'm not hearing it just from the betting community, Sleepy, and we're more one segment of the sports community. I'm hearing it from the NFL community at large that Cleveland, I wrote it down, I heard, quote, the Browns were a disappointment in that game. They're the worst team in the league going up against the best team in the league, or maybe the second or third in the Bengals. You know, so that's more so what it was. Obviously, yes, we have the betting angle there, Slippy, but it was as if the NFL expected, the community, people out there actually expected the Browns to do something. They have the worst record in the league in a year where everyone else is crappy. And this is why the emotion came out, and I thought this was so amazing. My eyes, it's coming from everywhere. Who are these people who thought the Browns had a chance? And then you go into the betting community and you see some bets on there. There was 30% upwards of 35% on the Browns. So I'm more interested on this Browns love thing. Who said the Browns are any good? This team's awful. They just got beat up the week before or a couple of weeks before by the Bengals. So let's stick to the Browns because now they're going to start Menzel again. How Browns is that? How Browns is that? Hey, we're losing. We've lost a couple of games now. Hey, Johnny, man, come on in and start for us, bro. Let's see what you got now. Let's see what you got now. Hey, bro, we threw the third-string quarterback in there. First-string quarterback's hurt. It's almost as if, fuck it. Go ahead, Johnny, you can play. Man, what did you think about that? That came out maybe 2-3 hours ago that Johnny's going to play. It struck me instantaneously as how Browns is that? And it's petted out. He's got to be going. That sounds like something, a call that was made. It reminds me of the Redskins scenario when RG3 was playing right before coaching changes were happening there. It's kind of, hey, man, this dude's playing. You know, you're on your way out anyway. So, you know, put him in the game. And I think you agree with me. I don't think Manziel's any good. I actually was looking to go maybe play against him next week. I saw that the Niners are coming to town. You know, congratulations. They might actually get a win. Hey, if you love the Browns going up against the Bengals, you must love them getting the Niners coming to town. Slippy, your thoughts on Manziel getting the start, man?
I was thinking this morning when I was reading ESPN, I'm like, this is like One Life to Live, man. It's like a total soap opera. It's comical. You know, when you look at the standings, they are the worst team in the league, 2-9, and then they're followed by, I think, two other teams, I think Dallas and San Diego, both at 3-9, so they're right in the driver's seat to go ahead and get the number one pick this year. They'll probably screw that up and take Jared Goff or something stupid like that. But overall, man, it's like a soap opera, so I'm not shocked. When I read the ESPN this morning, I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, there's Manziel. He's going to play. That wasn't a shocker to me. Like I said, they're doing anything and anything they can to go ahead and probably – and, man, don't be shocked if he goes out to parties or something stupid and then he gets announced in there with a concussion, and then, you know, maybe Austin Davis, maybe throw him in for, you know, the second to last game of the season. But one way or another, that team's a disaster. They're the laughing stock of the NFL right now. I'll be honest with you, man. They need to, if they do get the first pick, and Jared Goff's the guy that's being talked about as being the number one pick, they need to trade it away and not take that guy. They need to go ahead and pick up Paxton Lynch. And I think what they should do is keep Johnny Manziel. Sign him as a backup, because that's really as good as he's going to be, because he's not at anywhere near a level of what Paxton Lynch potentially could be in this league. And that's why I really think that they need to pick up a running back. They need a lot of help. Now, they have some good players on that team, but they're surrounded by a lot of knuckleheads. I think their coaching staff is garbage. their general manager's garbage, and their ownership is just bad all around. So they have a lot of holes to fill, and it's not just on the field. I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of, you know, the higher up guys. But picking up Jared Goff is going to be another disaster if they do it. I'm telling you, not the guy. And I'll be shocked if Mel Kiper says he's the best quarterback in that Cleveland. I'll be shocked. McShay, I could understand that guy saying that because I don't think he's that bright, but I think Mel Kiper will actually know that Paxton Lynch is the guy that Cleveland needs to pick up, because you can't rely on Johnny Manziel for your future for that franchise. You just can't.
Man, I got to go find that out, man. Good question, Sleep, man. Who is on his draft board? I'm sure it's already out something, man. Who is his draft, his best pick for right now, man? I go and look that up. All right, Sleep, let's get to some, man. You wrote, and that's sticking with me, man. So Monday morning QB, Rams should move to L.A., man. Tell me a little bit about what you were thinking when you typed that, man. Rams should move to L.A., man. You had to be thinking more than just the franchise should move. Something tells me you got something on what's been happening with them with the loss or what else. Tell me what was going into that when you put that on the phone.
Well, if you read the top of the page on that actual post, it says these are some of the thoughts that you might hear from some of your Monday morning quarterbacks. So those actually,
man, I had it wrong the whole time. My fault.
Yeah, so those aren't actually my thoughts. Those are just thoughts of mine that pop into my head of, you know, what I might hear from the
what are you
going to
hear? A preview.
From the particular fans. But let me just give credit where credit's due. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay actually, McShay actually has Paxton Lynch as the number one quarterback. Thank God that he actually has him. But it'll just be disaster in Cleveland if they pick up Goff. But as far as, you know, the Rams moving to L.A., I don't think they can move to, you know, they can't move anywhere. Again, like, and I think you wrote it down. You said Arian said, you know, they're just an 8-8 team, you know, all the time. They're 8-8, and you know, another year down the tubes for them. Another year that a lot of the, you know, sharper bettors thought they were going to be better. But I don't have any confidence in that team. They need to get a quarterback. They have a nice running back right now. If they pick up a top-notch wide receiver and a good quarterback, you know, they could be improved because that defense is okay. I still think they're a player too short on that side of the ball, but they need to really unscrew themselves. I like Fisher overall, to be honest with you. I think he's a good coach, but, I mean, he hasn't won, man, since, like, you know, Steve McNair days. I mean, it's been that long. But he keeps taking over, you know, bad ball clubs that, you know, are, you know, bad quarterbacks, not a running back, no wide receivers, you know, defense is garbage. I think, you know, maybe starting over fresh with him, bringing in a new quarterback and bringing in, like, a top-notch wide receiver, even if you have to go through, you know, free agency or sign someone big. That's the way to go. But as far as them moving, I don't think it would be a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, when is the last time you've been in the playoffs, man, Jeff Fisher, man? And again, you know, my thing, I want to just throw it out there, man. Man, we got to stop with the Rams. We got to stop with the men. You know, you said it. They're the quote-unquote sharp play every year. And what we don't do at the end of the year is go and say, hey, man, you guys got it wrong again. Again, it's got to be 4 years in a row. And I swear, I think it might be five. And I promise you they're going to be on the list next year. You know, every year, this damn team. And again, man, I love doing it. I love Arians, man. I love that dude. He's just so honest. He's just so honest, man. I love that cat. But anyway, Sleep, how about Gurley? What's going on? You know, what's going on? It's easy to pile on, but this Monday, this is what we do. You know, I can go and put my arms around Chip Kelly, but that's no fun. Everybody's just going to blame the Patriots instead, right? That's what we do. That's how it works. Gurley, another no-show. That's five games. Hasn't hit 100 yards. Sleepy. He's averaging 52 yards over the last 5 years. Is he hurt? I don't know. But now I'm starting to read, hey, man, it's the quarterback situation. You can't give me that shit. You can't tell me it's the quarterback's fault when he's not rushing and everybody's loving on him when he had four games. When he was going crazy. You know, I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing anything. I want to know if you are. If you're not, that's fine. We'll move on to another topic. Just before I do, I just want to see if you're seeing anything with the team with Gurley. I know it's got to be disappointing because the team's losing. But specifically, the dude was hot. Everybody's calling him the best running back in the league, and now, no show.
I think more than anything is that, you know, he had early season success because, one, you know, he's a young kid. He's on healthy legs. He had a lot to prove in this league. You know, he was coming in from injury from college. You know, he was drafted. And I think early on in the season, you know, you had a team in the Rams who were, you know, motivated to win games. Now I think you realize that they're not going to make the playoffs, and I think a lot of it just has to do with team detriment, and I think a lot of it does have to do with the quarterback situation. You know, when your quarterback can't move the ball and it's being basically put on you to go ahead and pick up, you know, second and nine, third and seven, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for any running back. I don't care if it's Adrian Peterson. You can't put those guys in that type of predicament. I mean, if you can move the ball, you know, put your guy in second and short, you know, third and short and give him the ball, you know, he could break a run. And I think a lot of it is, you know, one of the things that one of the Pittsburgh running backs, Williams, said last night, he said, I was put in a position when I was in Carolina to where I had to hit home runs because I was splitting carries all the time. Every time I went out on the field, I had to feel like I have to run for a home run every time. And he was like, and then I realized my place and I feel dialed in. So I kind of wonder if that's the way that Gurley feels right now. Like every time he gets the ball, like he's the focal point of the offense. Is he just doing too much compiled with, you know, a bad quarterback situation and, you know, maybe an offensive line, like I said, you know, that just doesn't feel like, you know, they're going anywhere this year. So maybe those guys aren't giving 100%. But earlier on in the year, you know, he looked good, and I think maybe, you know, the Rams had a decent quarterback situation with Foles. He was kind of healthy, and I think the line and the overall season outlook was a little bit brighter than it is now. So I think it's just dim all over. I like Gurley. I think he's quick. I think he's fast, and, you know, he'll be good next year. I think it's just going to take, another year, like I said, a good quarterback, maybe a wide receiver, take some pressure off the kid so he doesn't have to feel like he has to hit that home run every time he touches the ball. Maybe he's just pressing.
All right, man, I give credit to Avail.com, and already got potential candidates to replace Fisher. It's a fun list. Sleepy, let's see if you like any one of these. Jim Schwartz. Ugh. Kevin Sullivan.
No.
Kevin Sullivan. This is he had this earlier in the year too, so I'll give him a little slack. I'll cut him a little slack. Hugh Jackson. I do like Hugh Jackson or Josh McDaniels. Man, I'm interested in Josh McDaniels. Is he gonna cut the cord, man, and go try it again, or do you realize, hey, man, I got a good thing going right here? I thought he was a good coach in Denver, man. Thought he got kind of the raw stick there, but I understand how it works. He's come back. Not a love credit given to him, man. That offense. With the Pats looking pretty good, man. Again, Belichick's not the offensive guy, man. That's McDaniels going over there. He's always been good when it comes to drawing up those plays. So I'm interested in what he does. Same thing with Hugh Jackson, man. Those are two offensive coordinators I liked. I loved Jackson in Oakland. I love him. It was very innovative. I like when he done there. He got a little egotistical and started thinking he was running the ship once Al Davis died, and that cost him the gig. But I like both of those two, man. What do you think of either of those candidates, man? One of those two stick out, or you think both of them should stay where they are?
I definitely know to Jim Schwartz. I mean, that's a no way. To be honest with you, you know what? I'll tell you who will probably show up there next year if they do change the head coach. That Rob Ryan, you know, he should be operating a hobby shop somewhere, but he'll probably show up. He'll get a job somehow, some way. It'll
definitely
probably be in.
Yeah, you can't kill that guy. You can't kill him.
No, you can't get rid of him. But I think he'll probably, and it, you know, in reality, I think we'll actually see how good he is with an actual decent defense, because he's been blessed with some of the worst of all time. So he does take a lot of flack. But you would think, you know, with all the, you know, hype he gets, I mean, he's on the TV more than anybody when he's out there coaching. But Jackson wouldn't be a bad idea, but. No way, Jim Schwartz. No way.
All right, man. Only a couple more topics.
Maybe
I
Mike
got
Smith.
Here, man. Oh, who?
Maybe Mike Smith and Jim Schwartz combo.
Oh,
you
no.
You know, Mike Smith.
Oh, no.
From Atlanta, the Mike Smith coach. Like, he's horrible, too.
Yeah, you know, you put them together, man. The team finds a way to lose one game. They go 0-17. Somehow they lose a 17th game somehow. All right, Sleep, let's talk about the Panther Pattern, man. It is, again, man, these are things that just annoy me. And maybe, you know, they don't annoy everyone else. But I'm watching the Panthers game, man. And the Panthers go down early. And listen, Sleepy, you find yourself in this side of the track. You know, you just like me with Iowa, you find yourself rooting against the Panthers. And, again, I understand that emotion. That's how I felt in the other game. But, man, the analysis, like, there's nothing more frustrating to me because I'm a math guy. I like stats. I like tangible evidence. I like things we could see and understand there's some intangible shit that happens in this game, right? Emotions play into it, right? You've got three games on the road out of four. I understand what that does. I get that. That's not a stat, but I understand what it does to the body and to the team, right? I also understand motivation, right? Somebody's losing two games in a row versus a team that's coming off a bye with a win. I understand there's that gap in emotion or motivation. What I don't get and what I don't like is just a lazy knackle. So here we go. The Panthers are down at halftime sleep, and you hear things like this, man. They're flat. They're flat because they've won the division. So what? What do you think? They saw the game before, realized we have the division locked up, and walked out of the tunnel. Hey, we got this in a division game on the road in New Orleans. Hey, get the hell out of here with this lazy analysis, man. Another, they underestimated the Saints. I just don't believe anything. What I believe happened there, so if you go look at the box score, I believe they had two or three turnovers in the first half. That's what the hell happened. One gets run back for a touchdown. One, I think that was bullshit on the fumble. I think his knee was down before he fumbled. But regardless, that's what happened, right? That's why they lost the game. It wasn't underestimating. You saw what happened then in the third and fourth quarter. Did they start realizing that we shouldn't be flat or we shouldn't underestimate them anymore? No, they're playing hard. This whole thing that people didn't try hard because they're losing when we expect them to win. It's just, it's utter nonsense. And again, maybe I'm different that way. And so I want to see if you heard any or do you hear something like it and does it bother you? Maybe I get riled up and it shouldn't bother me. Your thoughts on that analysis or something like that you may have seen over the weekend. We're going to see it all day today. Just stupid analysis of why somebody won or lost the game. You know, if you got anything besides the Pats being injured, they're losing the game. You think they underestimated the Eagles at home? You know, that's the crap that drives me crazy. Just lazy guys talking on TV, on the radio, that just don't know what the hell they're talking about. Just spewing out shit that sounds good. Does that bother you at all, Sleep, or is it just me?
Well, I mean, I have to take that with a grain of salt, and that's one of the things that I definitely try to avoid is really listening to anything that I hear on the TV set. Because a lot of times, you know, when you do too much TV watching, you will get brainwashed into certain things, especially if you watch, you know, the bigger sports channels, because, you know, they all made us believe that Tim Tebow should have been a starting quarterback in this league. And, you know, they all made
Good
us
point.
Believe that Manziel was going to be the next greatest quarterback to come out of the NFL draft. And, you know, once you start believing in certain things that they say, that could, affect us as handicappers. So that's just something I try to avoid. But, you know, if you want to get into both of those games yesterday, I watched every snap of that Eagles game yesterday. I could tell you a lot of the reason why New England lost the game was due to, you know, the injuries as one, but also Philly was a buzzsaw yesterday with special teams. They scored three special teams touchdowns, and they really just ran the score real quick on New England to, you know, where the point was the field goal late there late in the fourth or late in the third. It was going to be tough for New England to come back. Now, Philly seemed to let off the gas, but in reality, if you really watch the game, Philly on offense is still in deep, deep trouble. I can tell you that right now. If they didn't get those three special team scores, they'd have got beat, and they probably would have gotten blown out of that game because they didn't really show much resistance to the Patriots, even when they were injured. I mean, Tom Brady had two scoring drives there in the fourth quarter, and they didn't do much in the first. They didn't score. They didn't do much in the third. They didn't score. But overall, when I looked at that game, you know, really it was Pat's injuries, Eagles special teams, and the special teams won at the end of the day. They put up three big touchdowns. And it's been a year since I've seen Philly play that good with special teams. And actually, their defense at times was okay. But that Philly offense is bad. I'm telling you right now, it's bad. And they're going to struggle next week against Buffalo.
Man, great, great segment, Sleep. That's why you're good at this, man. Exactly where I was going to lead you, man. Because, see, that's what I'm talking about. I like that analysis. See, you can easily say, you know, why the Eagles won that game and give some crappy emotional shit to what the Patriots were doing, or even maybe go as easy as injuries, which would be important there with the pass. But you just mentioned it there that unless you watched that whole game and went into the box score, the special teams atmosphere there, Sleep, the way they won it with the special teams there, now going into Buffalo, great segment there. What do you think happens there, man? I'm seeing picks, minus one there for Buffalo. Buffalo actually looked strong. They look strong, man. Again, Taylor doesn't get really talked about a lot, but he makes a lot of plays. I'm not sure if he lights up the stats there, Sleeve. I'm going to take a look at that in a second. Matter of fact, I was looking at it because I wanted to talk about Osweiler, and I saw Taylor down there in the stats. Not really somebody you're going to go and pick fantasy-wise, but the guy's making plays out there. And like you said, you didn't think Philadelphia really got it all figured out. And right now, you're starting to see, hey, man, Chip Kelly does know what he's doing. What? How can it go from one game to now everything's fixed? So good point by you. What do you think happens in this Buffalo-Philadelphia, man? Pick minus one, total already sitting at 47, 46.5 there in Philadelphia next week.
I mean, this will lean us to go ahead and back Buffalo. I mean, their offense has looked pretty good the last few weeks. My key concern for Buffalo is can they win on the road? That team struggled on the road all year long, but they've played two back-to-back road games. Now they came back home, and they played a tough team in Tennessee who I actually think has a pretty good defense. And going into Philadelphia, I think Buffalo will be comfortable. It's not like they're going, you know, a long East Coast, West Coast trip or going down south in the hot weather or going into a dome. They should feel pretty comfortable in Philly. You know, Shady McCoy's making his return back to Philly. I expect him to have a big day. I just don't think that Philly's secondary right now is banged up and it doesn't look all that great. It's going to be able to match up with Watkins, Woods. You know, I could be able to match up with Shady coming out of the backfield. And if Taylor's playing at the level that he's played at probably the last 2 weeks, I think he can go in there and exploit Philly on, you know, Philly's defense. And I think that Buffalo's defense is definitely good enough to slow down Philly's offense because they just don't have a whole lot of firepower. I mean, you're going to need 100-plus yards out of DeMarco Murray. You're going to need Bradford to pretty much bring in the A-game because they just don't have a lot. I mean, they got a Cooper, you got Aguilar, you got Matthews, but there's no identity. There's no consistency at all with the passing game, with the run game, with the quarterback. You know, their tight ends are okay. I mean, for Tim Tillich, but overall, it's going to take Philly's A-game, even at home, to beat Buffalo, and I just don't see that happen. I think Buffalo will take them, and I think they'll take them out.
All right, man, I like it. I like it. Spinning forward, man, to next week. Spinning forward to next week. Let's take a look at, man, another team there, just coming off what happened last week, spinning it forward. There's going to be Carolina, man, another division game. That's a touchdown there, man, could have got under the 6.5. How widely available was that? Doesn't look like it was that widely available. Another instant of getting out early. But you know what? I lie. I saw that 6.5 last night, Sleepy Man. You tell me if you had the thought, too. I lie because I did see that, and I just didn't bet it. I actually thought, man, and again, I'm a guy who likes Carolina. I was off them on the Redskins game. I was back on them and lost last week. You know, I'll take my lumps with them, and I'm just not in love with the team no matter what. I thought, hey, man, another division game, back-to-back division games, maybe this is why the NFL's getting a little more interesting, getting a lot more division games, a lot of close teams that know each other. Atlanta, as shitty as they've been, Sleep, it wouldn't surprise me, man. It wouldn't surprise me. This team is not good. I get it. They're not good. And this is not the Browns. This is a good team playing poorly. The Browns are a bad team playing like a bad team play. Atlanta just keeps turning the ball over. Man, Matt Ryan looks like Johnny Manziel out there. I can't explain that. But I swear to you, Sleep, it wouldn't surprise me if they cover. Wouldn't even shock me. Shock me, I'm saying. If Atlanta won the game, honestly, it's another divisional game. I actually told myself, no, don't bet this. Don't bet this. Stay even at the 6.5. Don't bet it. Already up at 7, that's the way it should go. I'm surprised it wasn't opening at 7. But another theory that we've heard before, Sleep, right? Man, be aware of that opener of 6. Why the hell isn't it 7? But it's been bet up to 7, so maybe that doesn't apply. But what did you think about it? Did you see the opening number? What do you think about that Atlanta-Carolina game? First thoughts, of course. This can change next week when we talk on Sunday.
First thought is that, you know, that they've played 5 games in a row now that they've lost, but a lot of it was due to, you know, their running back was really what they leaned on earlier on in the year. He came back yesterday, and again, they you know, they kind of threw the game away, but, you know, they're playing teams that are, I guess you can overlook, but that are actually playing pretty decent ball. We looked at the Buccaneers and we talked about, I told you, I think they'll win 8 games this year. Everybody thought it was nuts, but they've been swept by the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers aren't a bad football team. You know, they played the 49ers in San Fran. A lot of people had Atlanta in that game, but that was a game where, you know, they really needed the running back. But even San Francisco looks okay the last couple of
years.
You know, they played the Colts. They lost to the Colts at home. And it was one of those games where Indy kind of stepped in and it was like, you know, their season was almost on the line. It was like, all right, man, we got to deal with Hasselbeck. you know, we can win this game, but we could throw this division away if we lose. And then they played the Vikings, and they lost that one as well. So they're playing teams that are, you know, half decent. And I think a lot of it relies on, you know, Atlanta having success as that running back. And he'll be in next week. I wouldn't be shocked, as you said, you know, to see the Shocker go down, to see them beat the Panthers, because it is another division game. And I think another week with, you know, Julio Jones, Freeman, Ryan, if they could avoid, you know, the whole turnover situation and that defense playing like crap, maybe they could pull off the upset. But again, you know, just like we talked about yesterday, I'm not going to bet against Carolina. I'm just not going to do it. I'd rather them lose.
Yeah, man.
You know, because it's one of those where, you know, I went against Carolina, and sometimes it feels good when you go against that team that has beat you multiple times this year, and you finally can, you know, wave your flag and say, yeah, you know, I knew that, you know, they were going to get beat.
Got them. Yeah, I knew they were going to drop one. I got their ass.
You know, but when you turn around, you're like, well, yeah, you're minus four games with them, so, you know, so scream as loud as you want, but you really aren't a winner. So in reality, you know, I'm not gonna bet against Carolina. I mean, if they lose, they lose. If they win, they win. I can't take anything away from the way they're playing. You know, Atlanta has to play Carolina twice this year. They're gonna have to play them right after they play Jacksonville the week after. So if Carolina goes down, I'm gonna guess it's probably gonna be to Atlanta, but. Maybe Atlanta at home is the game. You know, maybe it's the game.
Hey, you know what, Sleepy? And that's funny, man. Win or lose, that doesn't mean right or wrong all the time, man. Your thoughts why you initially had played against them, man, could still hold true. Yeah, as far as what if you're seeing something in that team to maybe get a loss. That reminds me, for example, let's get on me with the Redskins Pats. You know, look, man, I think the Redskins plus 14, I go down. You got fair shot to laugh at me. Yo, Jay Rich, man. You're betting against the Patriots, man. Like we've talked about with Patchy, you don't get any extra cash, bro. It cash is the same. The ticket loses the same. No reason to get a little extra excited because you bet against the Patriots and won. So, you know, with that being said, what I saw didn't get the win last time, but now it's starting to ring true. But now they got a little more injuries. But at that time, they've had injuries. It just wasn't coming up to bite them ATS-wise. Same can be true with the Panthers, you know. But whatever you saw before doesn't mean – that's not true. You're just not getting the win with them, but it's tough, man. You know, and we talked about what we've heard on the show with RJ before, man, and I love the example because it's really hard to do, and his example has been with the Jaguars. You know, betting the Jaguars. The Sharps always been the Jaguars every year, man. Those first five games, they seem to lose and not cover. But the cap is, man, if I see value and it's actually legit and this team is supposed to be getting better, just because they lose two in a row, that doesn't make my initial thoughts, my thesis there, incorrect. Do you have the balls to go ahead and do it the third time? That's tough, man. It's tough to do it, especially if you're selling plays also, Sleep. That's tough, man. That comes across the street, comes across the screen. Sleepy J is giving me the bet against the Panthers again. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I know that. But talk about that, man. I think that's tough, man. If you're out there in the racket, man, you're betting on your own, again, you're selling plays. That's got to be tough to do, but at the same time, you got to hold true to your handicap, man. How do you juggle that? That's tough for me.
More than anything in regards to that team, you know, I'll be honest with you, my handicap was wrong. You know, it was really wrong.
That's an option too. Yeah, I forgot. You could just be flatly wrong. Okay, yeah.
You know, so I can't go ahead and put stock into saying my handicap was right and it was just all it was bad luck. I can't make excuses, you know. More than anything,
general, what other teams? I don't mean specifically that team. I just in general, I know that's the tough angle to do. You've been on a team and lost maybe two in a row, which doesn't mean that your handicap was wrong. Is the point I was getting to though?
Say that again.
I'm saying the point. I wasn't talking so much specifically about the Panthers. I mean the theory out there again, and I gave the example with the Jaguars. If you're seeing a value on a team or think they should be able to cover, but just because they lose two times in a row or however many times, that doesn't necessarily mean, it could be, it doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. I was wondering if you had an example in how you struggle with that, playing off after the third loss, playing on a team again, because you are believing, hey, man, I what I'm seeing is correct. I may have lost the game, doesn't mean I was incorrect on the ideal, and this ideal can still be applied to the next game.
It would be easier for me to probably look at some college teams, you know, teams that I know in college that were fraud teams that I said, you know what, they might have beat me this week and they might have beat me next week. But there were particular things that I can go through in a box score or the eye test and say, you know, this is right. I know I'm right. And eventually I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to beat this team and I'm going to, you know, get my wager back that I lost in the game, you know, last week. So there are particular instances where you have to actually look at the box score, look at the turnovers. You have to do the eye test. You have to look at teams. And that was one thing that I struggled with Carolina. I don't think I watched enough of them, and I don't think I actually took into consideration how good that defense was. And I didn't look at a lot of the turnovers and a lot of the, you know, third down conversions that teams just weren't doing. There were a lot of things that I could look at with Carolina and say, you know, I really messed up my handicap. And then there are things, you know, that I could go back to. And a lot of it, and a lot of teams stick out to me in college that I just know that I'm correct on that didn't pan out for like a week or two. So it happens. It's definitely something that, you know, I don't feel a need to go ahead and avoid Carolina. I just don't find any thrill right now in really, you know, handicapping their games, trying to figure out how I'm going to beat them or how they're going to beat me. It's just it's one of those teams where, you know, it's kind of like a Tennessee Titans team. That's one team that you will rarely see me wager on and put a play out on them, to be honest with you. It's probably been years. And Carolina has really been one of those teams for me to really back and not really to go against, but it was a team I stayed away from for a long time. And, you know, it just holds true to why I probably should just stay away from Carolina because I just don't have a good gauge with that team. And I really put a lot of their early season injuries, you know, I put that so high with Benjamin going out. And I didn't think Stewart was all that great. And I didn't think Tolbert was that good. And, you know, I didn't think that defense was that good. So I really came into the year with bad perception of that team, and maybe I just didn't know them as well. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'll just, you know, I'll root for Carolina to win or lose. You know, hopefully I really hope, you know, that they surface. And if they do, you know, end up beating Arizona and beating Minnesota or Green Bay or something like that, and, you know, they do show up that they're one of the better clubs, I have a gut feeling that probably me, you and everybody else, one way or another, will be rooting for Carolina if they do represent the NFC to beat Denver or beat New England. We'll probably all be rooting for Carolina, even though we've been rooting against them all year.
All right, let's wrap it up this way. Felipe, I want to talk about two NFL games, two more games, and then go to two more. I want to see if you, what you prefer. And again, this is going to be a different question. Not do you think who's going to win? I want to give a either or who's likelier to cover here on a couple of big college spreads there. Just your initial thought, top of your head. Again, not holding you to it, just interested in it as a topic of conversation. Same thing on these two games, man, I want to hit with the NFL. One game I think that people are probably not going to really care about or be interested in watching, Tennessee going up, speaking of the Titans, going to the Jets, they're sleeping. Then a game I think everyone's going to be interested in, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. So two games, man, I just thought, again, it'd be fun to talk about. Let's hit the Jets first, man, Tennessee Cup. They're laying 7 at home. Ain't no sleep, man. We talked about that Giants game, man. Eli there on the red zone there, right on the goal line. You know, I didn't think that was actually his fault. I think the receiver ran a bad route there. I don't blame that on Eli. I didn't read the clipping to find out, and sometimes they won't throw each other the other the bus. But it's easier just to blame Eli, I guess. But regardless, they're sleep, man. I didn't think the Jets played particularly well. And another thing to go look up, man, we talked about their injuries. I wonder if that catches up to them again. First look, Sleep, I'm seeing juice on that 7. You can get 7.5. I'm actually going to be interested in the Titans here early on, Sleep, man. Didn't like what I saw from their defense up against the Jaguars, man. As soon as the Titans go up, man, they let the Jaguars go back on them. So, man, don't think they'll be able to guard Marshall at all, or probably get lit up by Ivory also there, Sleep. But initially on them, that plus 7. What do you think is interesting about that game, man? Again, early thoughts, first day of the week there. What's your thought there when you see a 43 on the total, 7.5, man, on that line?
Well, I actually watched a little bit of that Tennessee game yesterday. I can tell you that Mariota is a lot. He's very comfortable when he has, you know, his receiving guys. You know, Delanie Walker's back, he's healthy. He hit him for a couple throws yesterday. Actually hit him for a touchdown. They have the other guys. I mean, the running back's okay. Mariota had a big scramble. So on offense, I think they're pretty comfortable. As far as the Jets laying 7.5, it looks a bit pricey to me. Now, I know they beat the Giants yesterday, and I think a lot of people were on the Giants. I actually liked the Jets yesterday in that game, but 7.5 seems a bit pricey for me. If that Tennessee offense is rolling, you know, and scoring some points, they'll keep this one close. I wouldn't lay 7.5 here. I just think that that's, you know, a scary number. But this one has, you know, I'm not going to say upset in the making, but just one of them spoiler games, you know, where it's like it lands on 7 or it lands on 6 or something like that. So it tells me it's a spoiler game. You know, right now, I mean, Tennessee with that offense, you know, when it's healthy, it looks much better, and it looked good in the beginning of the year. You know, we all talked about Tennessee in the beginning of the year as being, you know, maybe one of the better teams in that division. And then, obviously, you know, Mariota got hurt. They got some injuries to their wide receivers, this, that, and the other. But I think they're getting healthy now. And, you know, that's a team that's not looking to go ahead and tank. That's a team that's looking to improve on, you know, what they were really building for the beginning of the year. And now they seem to have it back. So I think they'll give the Jets a scare here. It just has a spoiler game written all over. I kind of agree with you with that one.
All right, man. Last game for the NFL, man. We're going to Pitt, going to Cincinnati. See, man, that's another good division game. Don't really know what to think, man. Looking at the opening number, only 3. I think that's kind of standard. Little juice on that 3 right now. Don't really know about the total. 48. Can they slow down the Steelers, Cincinnati? Man, we're talking about that offense. Can the Steelers defense slow down Cincinnati? I wouldn't even know where to lean on that total, man. First of all, sitting at 48. No real movement on the 3 or the total there, Sleeve. I think this is probably going to be a stay away, you got to go a little deeper, of course, man. Just initial thoughts on that. My initial thing is, man, I probably just want to sit back and watch this one, man. I'll wait on the week and see if I come up with a play maybe on that total somehow, some way. But I find it an interesting matchup. I know I'm going to be watching. There's going to be a early game of the week, early game of the on Sunday there, 10 a.m. on the West Coast here. Sleeve, what do you think?
Take the over in that game. Don't even mess with the teams, because Pittsburgh could win that game, and they could win by, you know, a field goal, and Cincinnati could win by a field goal. But, you know, again, you know, if you watched the Monday night game last night, Indy didn't have a whole lot of trouble actually moving up and down the field. Their issue was, you know, they went 4th down, they screwed it up. They dropped the pass in a decent spot where they could have kicked a field goal, and, you know, they didn't do so. Turnover. They were up and down the field, believe it or not, on Pittsburgh. Now, Indy's defense showed no resistance, and I don't think there's any defense in the league that could really put up much resistance against Pittsburgh's offense. So that game probably goes over. I think Cincy will get their points. I wouldn't be shocked to see that one hit 60, to be honest with you. I think it could have hit that many.
Wow.
I'll be on the over on that one really strong. 48, I have no problem with that. That number's probably going to go up. Don't be shocked if you see that one close around 49, and it'll be like, what? You know, everybody be on the under. But Pittsburgh's offense is not slowing down, and that Cincy offense is, you know, rolling. I mean, they scored 37 points this week on the road. They're looking to go ahead and take it to Pittsburgh at home. And I think that Pittsburgh defense, like I said, it's going to take an A game. I don't know if they could bring an A game into the jungle on the road here, you know, after, you know, I guess you could say a big Monday night win, but. It'll be a good game, but I think plenty of points will be scored. I really like the over in that one. That'll probably end up being like maybe like a 3-star grade after I go ahead and do the game.
All right, hit it early, man. I like when Sleeve becomes strong, man. I love it when you're strong in your opinions. Again, I can always say hitting your voice, man. Sleeve believes in that early, man. It sounds like the research is only going to confirm that play, man. We can go and take a look at it. Good, man. Looking in the game, man, you said it. 2 picks by Hasselbeck. You know what, Sleeve, man? I can't remember the drive. In my mind, what I thought, kind of what you were saying there, hey, man, how's Hasselbeck just moving up and down the field? And then my second thought was, hey, man, is Hasselbeck good? It was when he threw that sidearm, he kind of leaned to his right, set his feet, and threw that pass to Gore. And that stuck in my memory, like, man, how the hell did he move up and down the field, man, and throw that pass? But then you look at the 2 picks, the fumble. Pittsburgh fumbled 4, but only lost 2 there, Sleepy. So another occasion where, hey, man, maybe the like you mentioned, again, the turnovers kind of hurt them. Let's go to quick college, man, too, and we'll get out on this. And not even got a handicap on Sleeve. I just want to know what you think is more likely to happen, man. Bama covering the 9.5, both are under the key numbers there. Bama under 10 at 9.5 right now, or OSU there covering the 6.5, both of them, again, under key numbers. Who's more likely to cover those under the 10 for Bama, or under the 7 for Ohio State? Your opinion.
Man, that's a good question. You know, Alabama.
I have to sleep. I'm working on it. I'm working on this radio thing, man.
You know, Alabama's been a team that I've actually wagered on, I think, maybe three times this year, and I've covered every game. So it would be tough for me to probably play against Alabama, but that's a big number, man. That's 10. And I think that Michigan State, and we talked about it yesterday, Alabama has the worst quarterback with the four teams left. So, you know, it really is going to come down to a lot of statistical information for me. And, you know, I have to take into consideration, you know, given Saban, you know, plenty of time to prep, really would tip my hand towards Alabama. But something about Michigan State and that coach, he's always on the picture at the end of the game talking because they always win. So I don't know if they'll win the game. It's a tough game, man, to be honest with you. I could see a 10-line being perfect for this game. I honestly don't know. I really don't know, man, to be honest with you. I just have no clue.
Man, that's fair. That's fair. I thought it was a tough question. That's why I asked, man. No reason to throw it out there if you really don't know. I thought it was Ohio State. I thought they had the better shot. And, again, I could be undervaluing Notre Dame, Sleepy. So, again, I'm making a guess out there. Just, again, I'm guessing a two. I may not even be on either of the games. Instantly, I thought that nine – and it's more because instantly I thought the 9.5 was too much for Bama. I thought that was too much. And, again, a lot of it has to do with what I just saw. So again, I'm doing the easy handicap here, man. What I just saw with Florida, I thought they were going to have an easier time. And I know Florida has a good defense, but still – the special teams kind of saved them there. They had to play great field possession game there, Sleepy. That just stuck out. Man, what the hell is Michigan State going to do? Like you said, with a better team, with a better coach, or that's been with that team for longer, at least, than my man in Florida. So instantly I saw the 9.5 and thought, man, that's too much. So I think maybe Ohio State would have the better chance. Okay, they can both not cover, but I think Ohio State has the better chance. But I admit I could be a little biased and not be giving Notre Dame enough credit if they've had a damn good season.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, with Ohio State. I think the 6.5 would be easier for them to cover. You know, you can't take anything away from Notre Dame, but I think Ohio State kind of has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I mean, we saw what happened when they lost, and I think on the radio I said, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is probably going to get 40 carries in the next game. Sure enough, he did. The kid ran for 200 and some yards or whatever he ran for. I think they're still going to have a chip on their shoulder. Regardless of the fact they're not in the playoff, but they still want to prove to everybody, and that's just Urban Meyer way, you know. He doesn't let his kids, even after a loss, they came out and they performed top level. So I think they'll be ready to rock and roll. I think they're still going to have a chip on their shoulder, and I think, you know, more than anything, I think Ohio State offense and defense, they're just a much better team. I think 6.5 is a fair number, and, you know, we don't talk about season college football, but you know, later on in the season, sometimes bowl games offer some type of value, believe it or not, in season. So maybe just Ohio State to win the game, maybe you can find another real solid selection, maybe like a Bowling Green or something like that. They're only laying a touchdown to win their game against Georgia Southern, which I like them as well. But I think Ohio State has a very good shot to win that 6.5. But I actually think that they could, you know, win that game convincingly just because I think that they'll come in motivated with a chip on their shoulder with the better team on offense and defense. I definitely think their coach and Urban Meyer is much better. So I would definitely lean towards Ohio State before I took a shot with Bama.
All right, Sleep Ben, I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Monday night. I know you got a play up for that, man. Quickly, if we could do 5 minutes there on college basketball, NBA, and I say quickly because I didn't tell you about it, but I just clicked over, saw a couple games I thought were entertaining. So if you have something on the spread, fine. But I just want to see if you have any thoughts on this game. First, early Tuesday line opener, and I find this interesting because I'm knowing the Pacers are playing a little bit better than maybe what the people thought they were, that Golden State at Indiana. Some people saying this might be the game they trip up. And, again, this is the opening number for a Tuesday night game. Sleepy, so I'm sure a lot of people haven't capped that out, so I'm not asking for you to go in depth. I just want to know what you got thoughts on that. Golden State going to Indiana. Their favorite, the Warriors, 5.5 at the Pacers. How good is George playing? People saying, man, he's MVP type of season so far for what he's doing. Of course, Curry's number one up there. But thoughts, if you've watched any of the Pacers, do you think they can get Golden State? Or do you think Golden State keeps doing what they've been doing? Any thoughts on that early matchup there Tuesday, man? First game on the board, 5.5, Golden State going to Indianapolis or going to Indiana.
Off the top of my head, man, I could tell you that these two teams probably match up pretty well because of really their interior. I mean, Bogut's been banged up all year. Indiana doesn't really have a true center. And, you know, really it comes down to, you know, who could shoot the higher percentage. It'll probably be, you know, the Paul George show for Indiana. I mean, the guy's been playing awesome. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, I remember how bad it looked when he broke his leg, and it's really good to see him back in the league because, you know, we deal with it in the NFL, you know, star players going out, and, you know, you can't really afford to lose a guy like Paul George out of the league and then, you know, not see him for so long, and then he comes back and he's putting up 40 a game. But overall, I think Golden State will probably outshoot Indiana just because I don't think they have as many shooters and they don't have as much depth. I really think it comes down to really just, you know, the better shooter and the depth in this game. I think Golden State will get it done, but Indiana will give them a run for their money because they do match up pretty well.
All right, quick NBA thoughts again. Monday night slate here. Looks about 8 games. Again, Sleepy Man, if you don't have thoughts ATS-wise, that's fine. I just thought a couple of games that looked interesting as I clicked over. Washington going to Miami. Miami playing a couple of good ball there. Win with Cleveland. Of course, I know LeBron was out, but Wade had a pretty good game. Dallas going to the Knicks. Are the Knicks good? Sleeper, are the Knicks going to make the playoffs? This looks like a good team. In one more game, I'll give you 3. You give me your thoughts on them. I see the Clippers going to Minnesota. Can Minnesota actually get a win? I know the young kids there in Minnesota are playing pretty well. So 3 games, Clippers at Minnesota. Washington, after the Lakers lost, they've played a little better going to Miami. And then Dallas going to New York. I'm more interested just do you think the Knicks are good? Are they going to make the playoffs? They're dogs at home to the Mavericks. Are the Mavericks just a team I haven't looked at here enough, man? That's interesting. This is the first time here, and they must be good if they're favored on the road in New York. Your thoughts on those 3?
Well, to be honest with you, man, I haven't done any work today on NBA or college basketball. You know what I did yesterday?
That's fair. No, that's fair, Sleep. Yeah, that's fair, man. I don't want your expert opinion. Just what you thought about the games if you haven't delved deep into them yet.
I'll tell you right now about the Knicks, man, is that, you know, they actually have a decent club right now. And one thing we haven't seen from the Knicks in years is probably good, solid defense. But it really seems like they're trying to play solid defense. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony, he's questionable for tonight. He's really taken charge of, you know, being, I guess you could say is, you know, being accountable for his actions on the court and, you know, the way that he's playing. You know, he likes his coach to go ahead and you know, ream him out and saying, you know, Melo, like, you know, you're giving up on defense and you're just taking too many shots, you're being selfish. And it seems like him, and, you know, it's weird, you know, I watch Colin a lot. You haven't heard him yell about Melo this year. He'd have been 13.
That's true. He's on Kobe only this year. That's it.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, Melo's not being, you know, the old Melo. It's a new Melo. You know, you got Calderon in there. He's playing good. You know, Porzingis is playing good. They have a half-decent bench that actually provides them with some scoring. So the Knicks aren't too bad. But, you know, overall, man, I didn't get a chance to cap today's card. I was all over the bowl stuff. I had my numbers ready to rock and roll. I actually put up my first bowl pick for the season. So I took a one-day break from basketball today. But I'll be ready to rock and roll. I'll have everything all situated by tomorrow.
Okay, my bad. I was going to ask you about Butler also, if you know anything about Butler. Are they any good? There's a team we hear something about. They're going up against VMI, a team I'm hearing more and more about. Again, if you don't have thoughts on the matchup, that's fine. Just about the teams, what have you saw when you did your early work or what you remember from last year on Butler, who they're bringing back? Is this a team that can be good? They're laying a big number at home, 22. Again, just your thoughts on that team, and we'll go to a couple of college football games if you have that. Thoughts on Butler at all? Any good this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good, man. I'm not shocked that they're laying that kind of a number. I mean, I've seen them in the beginning of the year. They actually laid, I think it was like 27, 28, or maybe even like 30 points. They were laying like a ton of points. And, you know, can they cover that? And they actually have a really good offense this year. I think they'll be okay. I can't take anything away from them. VMI, I'm not really, you know, dialed in on. But, I mean, Butler beat a good team in Indiana. Well, I can't really say a good team in Indiana State. I actually have them ranked kind of low. But they took care of 17, Cincinnati. I know they beat them. They beat Miami. They beat Temple. So they're beating quality teams, and they're putting up, you know, 70, 80 points a game. So I wouldn't be shocked if they actually, you know, rolled over VMI. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
All right, what bowl games were interesting in, man? I didn't know you were going to be out this early, man. Quick, Sleepy, man, the line just came out, man. You're on your grind early, man. Usually people dive in, take a week, man, maybe next week come out with the bowls. what games that you looked at that you want to give a little bit to the audience. Again, I didn't know you were that prepared. I should have known. My fault for not knowing. You're ready to rock, man, on these bowl games. Obviously, some big ones. People are talking about the playoffs, but you got a couple of bowl games you like already, man. How about Boise State, North Illinois? That's the one that caught my eye. I wanted to see your thoughts on that or any other one that you like, want to talk about, man. Your floor is yours. Which game pops out to you or that you've done work on already?
I like them all, man. I love them all.
Yeah, my man.
You know, December is probably one of my favorite months. One reason, you know, Christmas is coming around. It's the holidays. It's time that we actually get to spend time with our family. And, you know, college football isn't, you know, it's like, you know, you don't get all those Saturday games. You get, you know, one, two games a day, maybe three games for the bowl season. But I actually like the matchups. And that's really what, you know, what I've done for years is just take one team and put them up against another team. And a lot of times it's, you know, the conference teams, this, that, and the other. But you get two teams who haven't played, and some of them haven't played in a long, long time. So I get to sit down and look at a team like Western Michigan, and I get to look at a team like Middle Tennessee State, match them up and say, you know, where's the winner in this game? You know, where is the line wrong? Where are the bettors going to go? You know, where, like, just give me something that I could look forward to for December. And it's the bowl season. You know, my two favorite seasons, bowl season, March Madness. I get, you know, screwy teams when it comes time for March Madness. I get to sit down and break down games. You know, I could stay up all night. I was up all day yesterday. I actually skipped a lot of NFL yesterday because I was writing my numbers down because I wanted to hurry up and get them up. And that's something important. Get your numbers early because when the numbers drop, you can find, you know, where, you know, let's say I have a strong feeling on a team like Western Michigan. I watched them a lot this year, and a team like Middle Tennessee. Now, I made a number for that game, and the number came out. So I could immediately say, this number is wrong to what I have, and I feel very good. You know, we just talked about it before. You know, when we were talking about, you know, Carolina, how I felt about, you know, them. Is my handicap right? Do I feel comfortable?
Yeah.
But I feel very comfortable with a lot of these teams because, you know, we've been doing this for what? You know, 13, 14 weeks now, watching these games, handicapping these teams. So when you get two screwy teams, I seem to always find some type of value. Now, I'll be the first to admit, last year I took a lot of bad beats in the bowl game, and there's just no way in hell that could be reduplicated again. There's no way I could take that many bad beats because things can happen. But this year, I'm going to kick ass. I'm in it already. I started out late last night. I put my first college football bowl game up for today. So I'm ready to rock and roll, man. I love December. I love the bowl games, and I'm planning on kicking some butt this year.
Okay.
I'm coming back.
Well, let's do this. We can go tomorrow on Wednesday, whichever day you want, man. We'll get together and do all bowls. Again, I didn't expect them. I know a lot of people are doing their work. You're out early. You're ready to go early, man. So we'll talk about that off air. We'll get a time to go. Can I ask you about three specific games? Again, if you're on them, you can talk around that. Just I want to get your ask you specifically about a couple of lines that just caught my eye. I want to know what your thoughts on the number. Can we do that? Three games here I want to ask you about?
Whatever you want.
All right, let's go. Okay, the one that popped out, man, the Florida-Michigan number, four, that I just thought that curious. Did you think that was – where did you think that line should have been, man? We saw what happened with the OSU game there. Florida kind of got out of Michigan, got exposed defensively. Don't really see that happening with Florida, man. A total – I saw 43 bet online now has 41. That 43 went down to 41 pretty quickly. That seemed to be the way to go. Matter of fact, I'm just seeing that now. Mad that I missed that because I didn't need to do too much handicapping to guess on that one. What'd you think about that number, opening number Florida, Michigan?
I immediately thought that number was wrong, immediately. I actually made my number Michigan 6.5, close to 7. Reason being, you know, Michigan got blasted. Not too long ago, and I think we remember that game. They got run over by Ohio State. Now they're going to come into a bowl game, and we know that Harbaugh's looking to make a statement. He's made a statement this year. You know, Michigan wasn't very good last year, and he's really turned that team around. But I like the fact that they're coming off of a loss, and I like the fact that Florida's coming off of a loss, but they're coming off of a much bigger loss in the SEC championship game against a team like Alabama where, you know, Florida was really playing for – you know, who knows what they were playing for in reality. I think that loss is going to hurt them. I don't trust their quarterback. I don't trust their offense. And they're going up against a Michigan defense who, in my opinion, is top-notch. So I don't see Florida scoring many points. Michigan's going to throw the kitchen sink at them. They can run. They're geared up. and very much Michigan's similar to Alabama, believe it or not. They don't have that top-tier quarterback. They don't have that top-tier wide receiver or two, but they do have two good guys on Michigan that can catch the ball. They have a tight end that can catch, and they have two running backs. That they actually, they have three running backs that they could throw at you. So I think what will happen, Michigan's going to wear down Florida, and they're going to cover that number. As I said, my number is 6.5, but I think Michigan wins the game by double digits. So I'll give you that one.
Okay, man. Big. All right, let's go to another one. You got me?
I said I can't talk around anything.
No, man, you're good, man. That one hit. I want to know about, man, what's another one? Oh, TCU, Oregon. That's another one. Pick them. That one caught my eye, too, man. No injury situation with TCU. What do you know about that? Oregon playing well, coming up the last couple of weeks. I found that one curious, too. I thought maybe that one might be higher for Oregon, but maybe I'm off there.
I think overall, if you take a look at both teams and really what they have at stake and really the way that the whole season has gone, the flatter team coming in here is probably going to be TCU. You know, they were talking about national championship, and if memory serves me correct, I think they might have been ranked number one at one point in this year. Maybe they were number one. And now they're sitting in a bowl. They're in the Alamo Bowl, and it's not really what their season was all cracked up to be. Boykin was hurt. You know, Doxson's hurt. You know, Oregon is a team where, you know, in reality, when I really looked at them in the beginning of the year, I said, this team could potentially win the Pac, but they had issues with their quarterback, injury, and that was a big issue for them. They've unscrewed themselves, and they look pretty good right now. They look pretty tough. Don't be shocked if TCU money comes in, because Oregon is one of those teams right now that are just flying under the radar. Don't be shocked if Oregon wins the game. I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know what that total is actually at 73. They might score over 100 in that game.
Jesus.
They might.
Okay, all right. Let's get one more, man. Okay, here's a – no, man, one everyone's talking about. This one I'm hearing nothing but Florida State love. See if you come across the bow the other way, man. Opening up, saw some 6.5 sevens out there right now. BetOnline, the only one up with a 53 for the total. Man, that was a good game, Houston. Last weekend, Houston going to Florida State. Didn't see Florida State this weekend. What's your thoughts on that one? I'm hearing nothing but Florida State love early on in the marketplace. How about yourself?
Well, you know Houston's a team I've talked about all year, and I was so excited.
I like the war kid, man. I like the quarterback, man. That's my first time seeing him.
Yeah, he's the man. He's very, very good. But there were a couple matchups that I was hoping that they would get because I'd like to see them win, and Florida State wasn't one of them. I didn't want to see them go up against a Florida State team. I was hoping maybe they would draw maybe like a Texas A&M or, you know, potentially maybe like a Tennessee or something like that, you know, a team that they could beat. I don't think they can beat Florida State. Now, it doesn't really matter because we talk about the number here. The number is actually Florida State -7. I think that number will probably drop down under a touchdown. I think it will go down to like 6.5. I don't have much of an opinion. Maybe the over is probably the way to look here because I think Houston's going to be a little bit out of their league. I mean, this isn't really the caliber of football that they're used to. They're not used to powerhouse teams such as a Florida State team. So I think Florida State will put points up on the board in this game. I think Dalvin Cook will have a good day running. But I also think Houston will probably end up putting up a bunch of points as well. Because Florida State, you just got to wonder how motivated they are for this game. I think they'll be motivated. But I think they would be more motivated if they were playing, you know, a little bit better of a team with a little bit bigger of a name. I'm sure they're not going
to. They might just be happy to be there in this one, man, coming off their win, now going up against a big boy, more happy to be there kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that they could pull out a win alone just on talent and cover the number just on talent. But I think they'll give up points to Houston. They're going to be used to, you know, Gary Ward Jr. And to be honest with you, I mean, he could torch any team out there. It doesn't matter. You know, he's that good, and they have plenty of players to put points up. So my initial lean was to the over. I actually made my number 56. That number came out at 53, so I have a slight lean to the over in that one. But I'd really like to see Houston win, but I just think they're out of their league.
All right, Slick, man, that was going to be the last one. Let me sneak in one more, specifically on the total, Tennessee Northwestern, and we'll wait, have everybody wait and check the new shows, man, and get Sleepy's full bowl preview. Again, Sleepy J, I'm Jay Rich. Got one more game I want to ask you about. That's Tennessee Northwestern specifically, because I've been following more of Northwestern, the Big Ten this year, maybe ever in my life, man. I like the Big Ten this year. It's actually fun to watch Northwestern being a team ever since the Stanford game. that I've kind of been following. They've just been the little engine that could, man, trying to sneak in with the big boys, and I think they finally done it this year. The Outback Bowl, Northwestern and Outback Bowl just don't seem to go together. That's a big boy bowl. Here's Tennessee, maybe a team that's gone off the radar there, Sleepy Man. They end the game in the year on a five-game winning streak, but that's to Kentucky, South Carolina, North Texas, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. What do I think about that? And my first thought was always with the Northwestern game is to look at the under first, that 45, man. What, can Tennessee do anything offensively to make me be scared of that total sitting at 45? And, hell, can Northwestern win the game? I'm seeing plus 390 on the money line from us, Northwestern. Again, only because I'm seeing the last five teams that Tennessee played, no, none of them are tough. So what do you think about that last couple ending for Tennessee, man? All their tough games were early on.
No, I sat and thought about this one probably for about 45 minutes before I made my number. Before I actually write a number down, I have to think about the game. And this was one game where I said, I have a gut feeling that this is going to be an over game and it's going to go over the total. And I was just curious what the number was going to be. So I made my number, and then I made the number that I thought it was going to be. The number that I thought it was going to be was actually 45, exactly where it's at. But my number that I made is actually 50.5. Because I do think this game probably goes over. Tennessee's right now is favored by 9. My thought process in it was Northwestern's playing in a big game and they're known for defense. I have a gut feeling that Tennessee will win the game, but I think Northwestern's defense at the end of the game could potentially just give up and just, you know, be too far out of it and, you know, maybe give up a cheap score here or there. But I think Northwestern, more than anything, could actually have success against a defense like Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee's defense is all that good. You're going to give a team like Northwestern, who struggles on offense, you're going to give them until January 1st. They have 3 weeks to develop, and they have a decent running game. I think their running game's okay, but they could develop some type of a passing attack that's planned, it's choreographed, it's scripted. These teams don't play each other. When you get two teams that really don't play each other, like a Tennessee or Northwestern, generally, the defense is what's going to struggle here. So I think you'll see the defense struggle for both teams. I just wonder if Northwestern is going to let up late, let up a score, and I think Northwestern will be rather prepared, believe it or not, on offense. I mean, they put up 24 points against Illinois. They put up 23 on Penn State. You know, they put up, you know, 30-something against Nebraska. So I think they can put up points, and I think it'll be a lot of it due to extra prep time will help them a lot, and I think it'll be a lot scripted. And Tennessee's just not going to know what's coming at them from a team like Northwestern. I think the game goes over, and I think that number's wrong.
All right, we got 2 weeks, man, to chew on some of these bowl games. Next weekend, man, we get Army-Navy there, Sleepy. That game's always fun, man. I know you being a serviceman yourself, is that a game that you pay extra attention to, like a lot, man? I know it's a big spread there for Navy, but always a good – just being a blue-blooded American, always a good game to watch, man. Good fun game to watch. But also, I put a little money on it. Usually, Navy's the team I end up rooting for. My dad being in the Navy, that's always fun. Army just doesn't seem to ever have it there, Sleepy. Is this something that maybe Army can come in and keep up with Navy at all? This may be the best Navy team I've seen in my adulthood, Sleep. Maybe when I was a little kid, there was better teams. I can't remember a better Navy team, and I can't remember an Army team that we've talked about less. Last year, I remember us having some shows where Army was a play. Don't remember you talking about Army at all this year. That worries me. What do you think about this number? 22.5, 23s out there, total of 53.
My concern would be is Navy looking forward to the bowl game against Pittsburgh and being over three touchdowns.
Yes.
That would land me on Army. Now, we know these two teams generally run the same offense. They play the same defense. I know Army's not that good. But again, you know, it's an Army-Navy game. It's like, you know, we talked about it the other day. You know, when you have your inner city rivalries in high school football, you know, you could have a team that's good and you could have a team that stinks, and they always tend to play. Same thing, you know, we saw Michigan State and Iowa, you know, a close game. So these teams always seem to play close. That number looks very shaded to me. I wouldn't be shocked to see that come down. I know Navy is the better brand of football. But I just wonder if they're really just saying, look, we could roll over Army, go take care of business, and really start to do our prep work, you know, for Pittsburgh. Because that Pittsburgh game, it's not like it's, you know, I think that's one of the earlier bowl games. So it's not like they have a ton of time to go ahead and prep for it. Actually, that one's December 28th. So They have right around they'll have about 2 weeks to play.
But 2 weeks after, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wonder if they're overlooking Army and just really looking towards their bowl game. That's just the way that I see it. I think Navy, if they do show up in either of the two games, they'll show up in the bowl game against Pittsburgh. I actually like Navy in that game to actually cover and win. So I'll give you that one.
Man, just remember, man, watching those games, it's always the weather's always important, man. It's either snowing or rainy, a lot of fumbles. Yeah. Of course, they're running a lot, and just weird shit happens. You're on the goal line, you're about to go in for a touchdown, someone fumbles, another team runs it all the way back. Always just weird things happen, man. I remember being on Navy a couple of years, and like, man, they're above and way above the better team. Hey, what the hell's going on, man? Why is this game so damn close? So Navy won by 7 last year. I want to say that was double digits. Yeah, 6 teams. I think I might have had a 14 if I remember correctly. Just thinking about why the hell is this game so close. All right, Sleep, hey, we'll wrap it up there, man. Leave a little bit for everybody to look forward to on the next show. We'll get together and try to figure out how we're going to do it, man. Sleepy's already ready for his bowl prediction, man, the bowl shows, man. Usually people are pouring over this for days and weeks. Sleepy's ready right now, man. Go check him out, the pregame pros page. Sleep, man, we'll do it again, man. Damn good show. We'll get it going tomorrow and find some topics to talk about tomorrow, man.
No problem, Jerry. Thanks for having me on today, man. Good luck today.
Hey, you too, brother. Thanks.
All right, peace.